My text is in the passage I read, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. It's part of a prayer. We have looked many years ago at the prayer in detail, but there's also value, I think, in looking at it in a general way and in the theme that we have. Verse 16, that he would grant you according to riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now, I'm using more verses than that, but that's my text. My theme you're familiar with by now, and that is this thought I have of giving it the heading, as you know, Great Expectations. We have great expectations of God, and he will not fail us. But also, every good that we do and everything we perform is by God's strength and God's grace. At the same time, there is an area of human responsibility. And it's that area that we've been concerned of for quite a while now. His expectations of ourselves, of you and myself, as Christian people. Now, he has a right to see our cooperation and our willingness to submit to the will of God. But it is addressed to certain people, and that is to Christians. You might say, well, has he any expectations of people in the world? There is common grace where he helps them and he aids them. But you can hardly expect anything spiritual from the world. Don't ever expect it. You'll always be disappointed. But he does expect from his people. And that is the area that we've been looking at this for a while. And trusting that both you and myself have responded by the grace of God to these requirements. It is to the Christian he's speaking them. Now, a verse I'd single out here is in chapter 1 and verse 7. These are the people whom he's addressing. The in whom is Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now, we have to start there. We've got to start there every time to make sure that we're not breaking somebody's heart who's not yet a Christian and thinks that God expects of him this great standard and this response in his life. But it is to the believer who has special grace from God. Now, who is then the believer? The believer is a person who has been redeemed. Now, the word salvation is valuable and wonderful, and the word redemption is no better, but the word redemption adds something to salvation. Redemption is salvation at great cost. So that's what we mean by it. So that Jesus Christ died for our sins, paid the penalty in our place, satisfied the justice of God. That is the cost of our salvation. So we can call it a redemption. We have been redeemed. The price has been paid that we might be the children of God and a place in heaven. So we begin there. In whom we have redemption. And it says what, how much it costs? Through his blood. The blood of Jesus Christ. Now, what is the benefit? The forgiveness of sins. Now, consider that now. There's not one of us here able to say, I have never sinned. Indeed, we would not like anyone to see what we really are or examine us. We would not like that. God knows what we are like. And do we know? Yes, partially. We are selective very often in our memory. But if we sit down and think and say, well, this is what I really am. Yet in Christ, all that is forgiven. My past sins, what a relief. My present sins, my future sins. You might say, well, that's almost too daring. Yet that also is true, that it is a total forgiveness. Paul deals with the matter of, so you might say, oh, well, that's great. Then I'm saved and I can sin as I like. And he says there, no, God forbid, don't play about like that. You must not be insincere in the things of God. But it is a total pardon. It also deals with the principle of sin and the power of sin. How does he forgive us? According to the riches of his grace. How rich is he? Has he enough grace to take me on board? And somebody here this morning might feel, I have gone so far, so hard, for so long, I cannot see. And I believe that I am past redemption. I've heard that said by people. I am past redemption. You have no right to say that. It's only God is able to know and say that. You yourself are not able to say it. So if I ask you the question, do you think you can be saved? You say, I'm past redemption. You are wrong. Because he forgives according to the riches of his grace. And all I'm asking you to do is to consider how rich he is in grace. And when you consider how rich he is in grace, then you can be encouraged that yes, you, even you, even I, can be forgiven. And at that moment of faith, when we believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that becomes real. Now, that is our background, that is our basis, is our foundation. So he's addressing people who have been forgiven much, who are children of God, and have a place in heaven, and belong to him. And from these people then, well, the little theme I have is, he has great expectations. Now then, the main thrust of what I have this morning is this, that we need to be strong. We need to be strong in the things of God. And we need to encourage the things that make us strong. Now, in this prayer by the Apostle Paul, you can see he has a great love and a great concern, and also in his prayer, great expectations. He asks, if you remember in verse 14, he puts it like this, for this cause, he says, I kneel, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you. I want him to give you something. That he will grant you according to the riches of his glory. There we are again. I want him to apply in your heart all according, not just a meager amount of his glory, but an abundance according to the riches of his glory to be something, to be strong. Now that's where I want to go, for us to be strong. Firstly then, the riches of grace. Paul's prayer, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory. He desires that God might provide for me, that God might provide for you all that we require spiritually, in this life, in every circumstance, in every anxiety, in every fear, in everything, every stumbling block, anything that is there, that he will grant us strength in those situations, in life, in the valley of the shadow of death, in death itself, that he would grant us the riches of the glory of God. That's what I'm praying for you, he said. And if we can extend his voice by the Holy Spirit to us here this morning, that is what is praying for me this morning. And for you, according to the great riches of God, that he might grant you to be strong in a day of great sin, a wicked and a perverse generation, where we could quite easily say, let us somehow or another accommodate the age that we are living in. Bring down these high standards of God that people might be able to relate and understand to something that is easier. Is it so easy for us to do that, maybe as an excuse or some reason or another? No, he remains the same and his request for us remain the same. Now, where do we go? To be strengthened with might by his Spirit. Now, this strength is going to be mighty. It's going to be applied by the Holy Spirit. Where? In the inner man. Now, you might say, well, I want you to be strong in this, that, and the other, and the circumstances of your life. But he says, I want you to be strong in the inner man. Now, this isn't an easy one to explain. But I could put it like this. It is our innermost being. It is a citadel of what we are. The decision place, the thinking place, the us, you, the very center of your soul, the very center of your being, the innermost man. And remember that in Christ, you are a new man in Christ. There, that new man in Christ should be made strong. Now, are you strong there? Now then, yes, you might say, but I could do with being stronger. Very well. That'd be true myself. I could do with being stronger. Now, how can we be stronger? Now, let's just look at ordinary little thoughts first of all. What are we when we are first converted? Now, it's perhaps difficult to accept this. We're babes. We're babes in Christ. We're little babies. Now, how do you look after a little baby? You take a little baby in your arms. You have to feed him. He does not know. If he had to do it for himself, he'd die. You have to feed him. And you don't say now, well, look, this little baby is here. Let me see now. We've got a lovely Sunday dinner, and I think he'd like a lamb chop. And so we try and force little baby, a week old, to eat meat. He'll choke. What do we give him or her? Milk. Very nourishing. All that he requires. But easy for the little one to accept, take in, digest. Because he's a baby. Now then, for those who just come to our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and all of us at one time, and some of us remain babies for quite a long time. You know? Possible, isn't it? Babes in Christ. So what do we do? He says, I will feed you with the milk of the word. There is a simplicity in the things of God. Then as you grow in the things of God, he then says, I will bring you now the meats of the word. Now, in a way, both are being preached at the same time, but those who are new will only really comprehend that which is for babies. But as they grow, they begin to nibble a little at the meats and begin to understand. Let me give an example from the Presbyterian Church of Wales, which is my background, and how careful they were in those early days about those things. They started, as well as a Bible teaching, which was a big feature, and learning verses every week, which was another important part. You know, and I used to get a bit upset. We used to have to say our verses as children in the big seat in the front there. And there would be ministers saying, you'll be glad that you learned these verses because in later life there'll be your say and like a staff and so on. And when you struggled to learn your verse and were terrified of forgetting it, you didn't get much comfort by what the preacher said. But he was actually quite right. It was good to know these verses. And good to know what you learn as a child, you'll remember to know thousands of verses. Yes. And it's very good to know. You might say they may be pretty meaningless before a child is converted. Yes, but the memory is a very useful thing. And these things can be recalled to the use of the memory and the training of the memory. But they had something else. They called it Rhodmam, Mother's Gift. It was a slender little booklet of all the teachings of the Bible. In simple form, who is God? What is God? You know, they're just short questions, short answers. But they had it all there. Then when you became, say, 11, 12 and so on, you then went on to a hafarddwr, the instructor. And that was a thicker book, which did the same thing in more detail. And then a little later, you came to the full confession of faith and the 42 articles, and you went through those. Because by then, you were ready for them. Because you have been prepared in stages in that way. I'm only using that as an illustration, not as an absolute necessity for us to do it. But I'm just using it as an illustration. Where we learn. And as we learn, we want more milk, and we go to solids, and then we go to meats. So also here. Are you doing it? Reading the Bible, then studying the Bible, then get a book that'll tell you about the teaching of the Bible, so that you might be strong. So when somebody comes knocking your door with a particular strange teaching, and they baffle you by their so-called knowledge of verses here and there, which are few that they know, and you can't give an answer, you should be able to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. You should be able to say what you believe. We should be strong in such an age as this. Now then, we will meet opposition, and because of that, we'll need to be strong there. Now, the opposition can come from people, from our peers, but it's not really from people, you know. The opposition is from Satan, because it is he who drives them, and that is why you can be sometimes afraid of testifying or saying you're a Christian somewhere, because you're afraid that your peers may make fun of you. At the same time, it's not them, it's Satan that's making fun. Are you afraid of him? Well, we need to respect him in that kind of way. But be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And read Ephesians 6 about the spiritual armor and consider wearing it and asking each Lord that I might be given all the armor of God and protect me from all the fiery darts of Satan, for he knows where to get me. He knows where to tempt me. And so that I'm able by the grace of God to stand. So here I'm cooperating. Satan targets the inner man. So you need every piece of that armor. You need the helmet. The mind has got to be protected. The emotion protected. The will protected. All these have to be protected. Now then, we go on. What do I do then? I partake of this food because I need to be strong. I go from milk and I go to meat. Now, what am I strengthening? I'm strengthening my soul. I'm strengthening myself, yes. I'm strengthening the inner man, but I'm also strengthening these important parts, the mind. What's your mind like? Mind's so important. Of all the faculties of the soul, the mind is that great doorway to the heart and the spirit of the soul. The mind. What does go through our mind? What do we allow to stay in our minds? So by the grace of God then, we begin to take every thought to Christ in captivity that is unworthy. That we actually do that. Why? Because I do not want any unworthy things there. So in my mind, I might be strong. And in my affections, where I can be attacked by all sorts of things, apart from sinful and unclean things, but by fear. Fear of illness. A fear of death. Discouragement. Circumstances. Disappointments. And you can see like there's all these different things. They're getting me down and I cannot cope with them. All these things. Be strong there. And trust your circumstances totally to him. Casting all your care upon him, whatever it is, to do it, you know. Not know it only, do it. And so that we are partaking then of this milk and this meat and strengthening ourselves like that, protecting our mind, our heart, and our will. This feeble little thing that can be blown in any direction. We know when we're wrong. There can be a thing or an interest or a person. You might say, well, I don't know what's right or wrong. Well, if that thing or person takes you away from God, then you know it's wrong. But if you know it makes you godly, then you know it's right. To be strong in your will, that you will not move from these things. He says, I want you to be strong. To grant you with might, to be strengthened in the inner man, to be strong there, to be aroused from our lethargy. Now, not only is it lovely to be a baby because you are spiritually alive, and if you've just been converted, thank God you're a baby in Christ, but don't remain childish. Be childlike, but not childish. Grow with a child. You say, come on, eat your dinner because I want you to grow. Why do you want me to grow? That you might be strong. Read your Bible. Why should I read my Bible? I want you to grow. Why do you want you to grow? That you might be strong and all the riches of his glory might be pouring into your life. Now that's what he wants. Those are his expectations. Another thing he has here, we use the word repose or resting place of faith. He says, I want you to be strong because I want something to happen in that inner man of yours. It's a very strange one. Now, I have to explain it carefully. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now, that's strange. Is it not true that for every believer, babe as he might be, that Christ is there? Christ is in his heart. So why is the Apostle Paul saying this to believers? This is my prayer for you, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. They might answer back and say, that Christ does dwell in our heart. Christ is in our heart. Ah, he said, is. Dwell. Now, it's spiritually true that Christ is in our hearts. It is perhaps a mystical point, but nevertheless a realistic one. His emphasis here is, I want him to be real to him, to you. I want him to dwell there. I want him to be at ease in your hearts. I want him to be in control in your hearts. I'm praying that, he said. We are the Lord, I know. But I want Christ not only to be a guest, I want him to be in the family and the head of the family in your heart. Now, are we willing for that? Will we go that step? It's a big thing to ask. There is a verse in the book of Revelation that is used as a gospel verse. I don't mind people doing that, but it is taken out of context. I'll read it to you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, people have regarded that and use it as a gospel verse. Well, it is not a gospel verse. I don't object to being used. It could be used like that. But it is a verse for believers. Jesus Christ, in that instance of Laodicea, is standing outside the church that is a church. They were indifferent, but they were the Lord's people. They were lethargic, but they were the Lord's people. And in a sense, he said, although you have me, in a sense, you're keeping me out of your lives. That is what he's saying there. So behold, I stand at the door of your soul, of your inner man, of your being. I stand at the door of your soul, and I'm asking you to take me in as the head of your family. Not as a relative waiting outside. But we are like, yes, I know that. But I want to take my rightful place there. He's speaking to Christians that truly were the Lord's, but they were in a bad condition. And what condition are you in this morning, myself? Examine yourself now. Do it spiritually, quietly, and I do it as well. Where am I? Am I in a good condition? Could I be better? Or am I in a very bad condition this morning? Well, consider this then, that by faith, ask that Christ may dwell. That's the key. That word dwell. Live, stay, control, repose, be there in your hearts. And gladly there. Do you see the difference? Yes, he's in our hearts as believers, but he's saying, I am praying this, that there might be a realism. And I'm asking you for this, that Christ might fill your hearts, control your hearts. How can he ask this? Only when we are gaining in strength and wanting more of the things of God. The Apostle Paul said, I live, yet not I. Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we go that far, to be strengthened in the inner man and then to come to this place where we come from milk to meat of the word, and then that we might ask God, yes, that that prayer might be fulfilled in my life this day, that he might dwell, live, control, rule in my heart, that he might be real to me. That is his prayer for Christian people. Now lastly, this thought, the resources of love. He says, I want you also to come a little further, being rooted and grounded in love. Now the prevailing elements in our lives, in our conduct and in our experience, is our love here. Now in this part of this verse here, is our love to God. I want your love to God to be firmly established and grounded. Now, if I was expounding on this at length, I would go a great deal into the rooted and grounded and the excellent illustrations that they are. But let them be just for us now, to be established and grounded in my love to God. So you're able to say this morning, if ever I loved thee, Lord Jesus is now. Now, can you say that in your heart, you see? If ever I loved thee, Lord Jesus is now. And that our capacity for love is increasing as we are strengthened in the inner man. Our capacity to love is also increasing and strengthening, so that we are able to express our love to him. Then it changes. That we may be able to comprehend, verse 18, that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Now he moves now from, look where I'm taking you. I want you to be strong in the inner man. I want you to be like that. I want Christ to dwell in your heart by faith. I want that to be true. I want you to be rooted and grounded in love. I want you now to be ready to understand what Christ has done for you and the love of Christ. That's the other way around now. We're prepared for it, stage by stage, in this particular prayer of Paul's. One godly man called a celestial ladder. Now he's dealing here with his love to us. He says, this is what I want you. I want you to comprehend with the saints of the past and the saints of the present, the believers in all times, those in glory and those who are alive now. I want you to comprehend the love of God and the love of Christ. Now how can we do that? How can I really contain the love of Christ? The only illustration I could think of was this. Think of the Atlantic Ocean. Now, I could never say, drink all that, if it were drinking water. I could never. But if I took a cup, I would be able to take a cupful. Now, you might say, well, that's only a cupful. It hasn't got it all, no. But it has what it is. All right? God is too vast for us to say, I have all there is of God. But nevertheless, what we have is God. Is God. That's a wonderful thing. And so that this love then that we're beginning to comprehend is the quality. There is an ocean and oceans and oceans and oceans. And yet it is understood and comprehended in the sips that I take out of a cup. To comprehend the love of God. He expects us to climb this ladder. He expects us to go this way. And then to close and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. If you try and explain it, you cannot. That he might be filled with all the fullness of God. How can we be filled with all the fullness of God? It's the same illustration again, you know. He's too vast, he's too great. And yet, the little container I have, my little cup, that's my little inner man, that's been strengthened by might and by the riches of the glory of his grace, that it is strengthened there, that Christ dwells in my heart by faith. And now I'm finding my love to Christ, and I'm getting into the area of the love of Christ to me. And then I'm coming into an area that is so exciting, so wonderful, you're almost afraid of saying that I might be filled with all the fullness of God. There is no adequate explanation of that verse, only to say that he prayed it for us, as in Scripture. Can we go that far? I say, I can't, Lord. This is too much for me. Then he finishes with these lovely words. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask. I just think, he can do it in us. Cooperates. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Well, how is it going to work? According to the power that worketh in us. What power is working in you? What power is working in me? It's the power of God. Why should you fear the foe? Why should you fear Satan? Why should you fear your peers? Why should you fear mockery? For working in us is the power of God. That's a remarkable thing. We are remarkable things. We are miracles of grace, every one of us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Object of my first desire, Jesus crucified for me. All to happiness aspire, only to be found in thee. Thee to praise and thee to know constitutes my bliss below. Thee to see and thee to love constitutes my bliss above. Lord, it is not life to live if thy presence thou deny. Lord, if thou thy presence give, 'tis no longer death to die. Source and giver of repose, singly from thy smile it flows. Peace and happiness are thine, mine they are, if thou art mine. Whilst I feel thy love to me, every object teems with joy. Listen to that. This man's reached there. Whilst I feel thy love to me, when I've reached that stage in that prayer, every object teems with joy. May I ever walk with thee, for 'tis bliss without alloy. Let me but thyself possess. Total sum, there we are. Let me but thyself possess. Total sum of happiness. Perfect peace I then shall prove. Heaven below and heaven above. Let us pray. Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, we come to thee in our Saviour's name and ask thy blessing upon us. And pray that these things may be real in our lives, for thy name's sake. Amen.